try to shift the blame. Instead of looking in the mirror, you've been staring at the frame. What a shame, cause it's not you, it's not you, it's not all about you. As if there never was from the start. It's not you, it's not you, it's not just about you. In the end, you're the muse, not the art. It's you. It ain't you. It ain't you. Not you. Not you.
This CDG month, discover how Queen's alumni are driving meaningful change through impactful careers aligned with the UN Sustainable Development Goals. On Wednesday, March 26, Queen's students are invited to join Queen's Career Services and the Principal's Office for the Work with Impact alumni panel discussion. You will hear inspiring stories, gain insights into professional journeys, and learn practical strategies for creating social impact and inspiring hope through your own career. Register to attend through My Career or through Queen's CDG Month Canada calendar.
This episode of the Kingston Live podcast is brought to you by Grand Onstage. Get the most out of the Kingston Grand Theater experience with access to pre-sale tickets, the best prices, and the best seats. Tickets for individual performances and subscriptions for the Grand Onstage season are on sale now at kingstongrand.ca.
It doesn't take a lot of research to come to the conclusion that historically, music has been a male-dominated profession. Look back through the archives of pretty much any music scene, and you'll find men making the majority of the noise. And Kingston is no exception. The artists that laid the groundwork for the Kingston music scene and put the city on the map have been predominantly male. That's not to say it's been exclusively male, but look through the biggest local names and you'll find women are an underrepresented group. Fortunately, in more recent years, we've started to see a shift. This is Kingston Live, and today we're sitting down with Miss Emily, Julia Finnegan, and Kyra Daniel to discuss their music, the importance of community and mentorship, and a special event March 7th at the Broom Factory.
Oh my gosh, what an amazing feeling to be in a room with a bunch of talented women. It's like, I can just feel the energy. I think we should take a moment to introduce ourselves. I am Angela Stever. I'll be hosting the podcast today.
Hi, I'm Julia Finnegan. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm Emily Fennell, and my stage name is Miss Emily. But you can call me Emily, because I'm not weird.
Thank you so much, Emily.
And I am Kyra, and yeah, thank you for having me here.
Oh my gosh, this is amazing. Now, the reason that we've gathered, you just heard, is for a Women's Day event that is just around the corner. But I just want to talk about, I mean, music, mostly to start with. You're all musicians. You all have a passion for that. I was thinking this morning about the moment where you stop singing other people's songs and decide to create your own, because it always happens at some point. And looking around the room, I mean, ages, you're 15 years old.
Yep.
An incredible talent. How old were you when you were like, wait a second, I'm gonna do this?
Oh, I think I was like 5 when I like first initially was like, wow, I like love to sing. And like when I started taking it seriously, I think I was 10. I was like, this is like what I want to do, because I got into the Mini Pop Kids and I started touring and recording more. And I was like, yeah, I think I could roll with this. So yeah I started... I mean, 5 was when I, like, my parents started me in singing lessons, and yeah, so it's been pretty much 10 years.
Amazing. People here 15, they probably think, oh, she's up and coming, you know. I put your songs on Spotify today, and I was doing my makeup, and Words Mean Something, I believe, was the title. Mm-hmm. I had to stop it because I was like, okay, my mascara is going to start running down my face right now. But, you know, and you did that a few years ago. So to have a song like that, that really like hits people, like, how do you do that? How do you draw on that at such a young age?
Yeah, I mean, I recorded that when I think I was 12 when I wrote it. I went to Nashville. It was my first time going there, and I loved everything about it. It was my dad and I, we went together, and I got to write with a really great producer. His name is Evan Klein, and yeah, I knew that I wanted to write a song about bullying and like not fitting in and just wanting to have my voice heard, because I was going through a time where I was getting picked on. I mean, it's elementary school, it's gonna happen, but mm-hmm. Yeah, so I kind of just wanted to put a message out there that a lot of people my age could relate to, or people that all ages could relate to, you know?
Absolutely.
So yeah, I kind of just, the lyrics started like flowing. It was great. It was a great weekend and a bit that I got to write, and we got three songs done. We got Be Free, Words Mean Something, and Like It's Summer. So we got three songs out, very different, but very, very good learning experience for me, just to have like that first like recording session, just to get into that world for me. So yeah, it was amazing.
And Be Free, that's the latest one that you've put out, correct?
Yes, that was the latest one. I re-recorded it last year just because I didn't fully finish it in Nashville because we had to leave and we had to come back home. But yeah, I redid that in Toronto like last year. Super
incredible.
Cool.
Now, Emily, the first time I saw you was on your 13th birthday singing at PECI, our former high school in Picton. And I knew that moment. I was like, oh my gosh, this girl is a talent, like incredible. Where is she going? I will be watching her. I had no idea we would end up being close friends, but same kind of question for you. When did you know? How old were you?
I feel like these are generous words for 13-year-old me, but I'm grateful for them. You know what? I would say around age 5. Mm-hmm. I would like to go back to this mini pop kids thing. I didn't know that.
Do you understand? This is kind of like a secret that's like, guess what, guys?
Oh my gosh, the mini pops. Okay, so mini pops when I was a kid, and obviously I'm 1,000 years older than you, but mini pops when I was a kid was a huge influence for me.
Yeah.
So you got to do something like that, and then you influence, I'm just letting you know from my own personal experience, you doing that influenced a bunch of people younger than you, probably your age as well. Okay. We'll come back to this again on another podcast, perhaps. I'm still like, wait, I want to have a whole conversation about that.
Really, I was going to save that for later, but it's fine. We'll get back to it.
We'll get back to it. So, age 5, I knew I wanted to. Yeah. I mean, that's probably where my earliest memories are.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom says that I sang a song off the back of a coloring book in church at age 4, The Great Big Elephant.
Oh.
It was called, rumor has it. I don't remember.
Right.
I don't remember. But I do remember saying when I was a little kid, I'm going to be a singer. And everyone's like, that's yay. And then at some point in time, when you say, what are you going to be when you grow up a singer? And they're like, yeah, no, you need something to fall back on. Mm-hmm. And that's my favorite sentence of all time. Mm-hmm. And then I just spent the rest of my life proving people you didn't have to do that. And now I talk to school groups saying you don't have to fall back on anything. It is a legitimate career, like any self-employed career is.
Perhaps Plan A should be the title of your next album.
Plan A.
Because you've never had a Plan B.
Well, except for that whole tragically hip Now for Plan A.
Now for Plan B, isn't it? Now for Plan A.
No, it's now for plan A.
It is Now for Plan A.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Okay, gotcha. Okay,
that's true.
Good.
I thought of it when I was saying, but I was like, it's not Now for. Anyway, Julia, were you 5 as well?
I don't remember. I'm trying to think.
I don't know.
Yeah, I've always sang since I was really little, and I feel like I used to kind of make up songs. My dad has always been very musical, and when I was small, he would involve me in writing songs and stuff, and we'd play together at church. And then when I was 13, I entered a songwriting contest, which was how I met Emily. So I've known Emily for 13 years, and it's crazy.
It was really interesting just chatting right before we started recording, because there are so many different connections between the three of you and some of the other gals as well. Savannah Shea, who's taking part, it's like, oh, she teaches Kyra singing lessons and Emily taught her and Julia. It's like everything's kind of interwoven, you know? I mean, your dad obviously was an influence, but who are some of the women that influenced you in music when you were young?
Definitely Emily, I would say. Like,
oh,
I've known Emily for a long time.
Is this that Beyonce thing where, like, you have to say it? Well,
she told me to say this before we started this.
That's time to thank Emily.
No, truly, it sounds like it's not true.
So great.
No, when I was 13, I entered the songwriting contest, and I won the under 18 category, and it was a really important experience for me because it gave me the confidence to continue writing. And Emily was one of the judges, and it's just funny how time passes. It's really weird.
Absolutely.
But Emily's always been a huge supporter of my songwriting and music, and it's really special to be able to share the stage with her and be here right now.
What about influences for you, Em?
Well, I mean, I do cover Julia songs from time to time. I think that should be noted. So I did an earlier interview today, and we were talking about influence. And I really do believe this, but one of the reasons why I love to work with and interact with and talk to musicians of all ages, in particular women, because it was very lonely for me, I felt, for many years. I just felt there weren't any women around. It was like Georgette Fry and me. And then, like, maybe a few other, it was really sparse, you know, in the city. But I always love and am constantly inspired by other musicians, and I'm going to say in particular female musicians and singers and writers of all ages. So it's, to me, it's not an age thing at all, because as Julie was saying, I met her when she was 13 and she entered this songwriting competition, and Rob Baker and I were sitting next to each other when we heard her song, and we looked at each other and we're like, what is even happening right now? And she was 13 and she was in this under 18 category, and we're like, this is happening in our city. We were both so excited, and we both still are so excited about Julia, but that was inspiring for me, and you would have been 13.
Yeah, I was so excited.
Oh, so it's like, I just think really when you're a music lover and you appreciate talent, for me, I'm just constantly inspired by I'm going to say women, because it's mostly as women around me who are working at their craft, really. Mm-hmm. Young women, older women, whatever my age is. I'm not going to call it middle age. That seems weird, but I'm going to say I find inspiration on all the different levels of careers and ages and stages. It's just, it's all so special. I take from all of it. I'm stealing everything. I'm stealing your energy right now, you two.
I protect mine closely. Kyra, what about you? Who are some of those people that have influenced you along the way?
I mean, my parents have always just been so adamant on exposing me to so many different genres of music. I've kind of grown up with a bunch of different influences. I mean, it goes from like Whitney to, I mean, I love Mariah. She's insane. And then like more modern, like her, Beyonce, Alicia Keys. I find for me, it's a lot of like black women that have really paved the way in the industry for me, just because, yes, I'm a young black girl. So it is definitely just as inspiring to see people that are from my background and share that with me to see how they're doing and to see their success is very inspirational. And I mean, any women, like you said, I'm gonna steal that from you, just to really look up to. And yeah, it's kind of just all genres, all like different periods of time. Just there's lots.
Are you finding more diversity behind the scenes? I mean, I worked in radio for 22 years, very much a boys club, very much a white boys club. And, you know, over time, some things change, but some things are also just kind of smoke and mirror, you know?
Yeah.
Do you find that there is open, safe space for you?
I would say so. I think that it has gotten better, and I feel like seeing, like I said, people that inspire me be so successful in the industry and have so much going for them is really inspirational, just because I mean, it's been hard for people in the industry, especially people of color, just to get their voices heard or to have certain things. But yeah, I feel like taking inspiration from, I mean, Beyonce is like the biggest name for me just because she's so unapologetically herself. And she just released like a country album, like Hello.
Yeah.
Like it's just like so diverse with her music, and Alicia Keys writing her lyrics, her playing the guitar, and just so many different things that these women have inspired so many people. And I mean, me too.
Yeah.
In doing it, I feel like it's definitely gotten a lot better, and like there's a lot more recognition for just the talent and the amount of work behind the scenes as well. How much goes into it, for sure.
Shout out to Dochi as well.
Oh my God! Yes.
Yes. On repeat.
I was talking about that with my guitar teacher today. Oh, we listened to the entire album. We were like, "Yep, this is our favorite song. This one." Like, she's so good.
I called my son and I was like, "Put this on right now. Call me when you're done."
Yeah, I mean, and just, like, her representation with, like, Black history, and just, like, that one performance where all the braids were, my God, chills.
That was the Stephen Colbert one,
I
think.
Oh,
and she choreographed that herself in, like, 3 days.
Like, she's so innovative, insane. So,
it's so, so good.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm like, I could go on that for a while. Let's talk about the mini pops, because I can see Emily just scratching her leg over there.
Like, ask her, can you call me and tell me to listen to these things?
Go ahead, Oscar. Go ahead, Emily. Ask her whatever you want. Floor is open. What's the mini pops experience like? How long you were doing that?
So I got in when I was 10. Now it's 2020. So didn't really do much.
COVID times.
So worst times.
Wow. Shoot.
It was like, I was so excited. And it was like, I think it was literally the end of February, beginning of March, because it happened mid-March when the pandemic started. And it was the beginning of March I got in. I was so excited. I had all the in-person auditions for the most part, and I was like, I'm so ready. We're gonna start like the boot camp, I guess, and we're gonna start dancing and training this voice. And then they're like, nope. Sorry, but you gotta film from home. So I kind of did the like at-home music videos, the filming I had to set up in my closet. We kind of did that for a good year and a half, and then 2022, I guess, I was able to meet the rest of the kids like in person. Wow. We did all the photo shoots, we did all the recordings, and we got an album out, so that was cool. And we started touring 2023, and we did that for, maybe it was 2022, I don't remember, but it was a good like year and a half, almost 2 years of just straight touring. It was a North American tour. We did, I think, two of them.
That's amazing.
And it's crazy. It's so and it was nice because it was my grade 7-8 years, so I wasn't messing like high school work. Some of them were because they were older than me, but it was great. I mean, we did Canada. I got to see so much of Canada, which I never did before. Like, there was only like two or three provinces that we didn't go to. So
awesome.
We
skipped
two
over Saskatchewan and Manitoba.
I knew it.
North. We did go to one of the northern ones. I don't even. It's like just all a blur.
It probably feels like a lifetime ago now.
It's so weird to think about. And the fact that it was before I got into high school is just so crazy, just because I was so young. We were all so young.
Yes.
And just having that exposure was just so cool. It's like, this is what artists do. Like, to be able to drive or take a flight to, I don't, we had, my favorite place that we went to was LA, because I was just like, here. But like, to catch a flight there and then to be in like Montana, it was like so random, like Montana or like Manitoba the next day. It was so cool, and it really built my passion and my love for music, just because I think live music is like just I have such a passion for it and such a love for it. And I mean, yes, the audience was kids and families, but it was just getting to inspire people at a young age, but that were even younger than me, and just to have all these kids come up to us after and be like, I want to be a mini pop kid one day, or I want to do what you're doing, or I want to be a singer. It's like, awesome. Yes, like we have the same dreams, you know?
Yeah. It's like the most passionate audience.
It's
and
so
tough.
Cool. And it's genuine,
yes,
too, though.
So genuine.
Like, yeah. There were tough crowds. But it was such a cool experience just to be able to travel. My mom was like my travel buddy, because she got to teach online. She would be in her car and teach, because she's a professor at St. Lawrence College, so she'd be doing a lecture in her car, and I'd be doing a show or something.
Amazing. Wow.
Yeah,
it was amazing.
I learned a lot, and I feel like just having that exposure at such a young age was super cool. And I made lifelong friends. I'm still talk to them like every day. So
are they all Canadian? Or are they?
Yeah, they're all from Toronto. I was the only one from Kingston, so I had to drive every single week. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, we're all so close, and just the love and friendship that we've built through that experience was
what a cool opportunity.
And was that strange collaborating with them remotely for?
It was weird because I met them right before COVID because we did like an initial welcome to like the group photo shoot, but I didn't really get to like know them. So it was, we had like our first shows in like Ottawa or something after rehearsing for like 3 months in the summer. And we were kind of just like, okay, let's do it. Like we don't even know each other that well, but we're just going to do it. And it was just 2 years of touring and just singing. And it was so cool. And just like the staff that we toured with were amazing. And
good way to find out if you are into it. You know?
Yeah. It's like, I'm 12 years old, you're going to see if I like this. Yeah.
Well, sometimes it's like that busy lifestyle on the road, and Emily, you know all about that. You are here and there and everywhere.
I am now.
People, okay, I just want to say for the record, if you know us, please don't ask me where Emily is. Because it's like, where's Emily? I'm like, I don't know, okay? How about you ask her? Because you're always on the move. It's amazing. But, you know, you're playing a lot in the States now. That's opened things up for you. How's that been with all the travel?
I became a full-time musician, and then I found out I was pregnant a few months later. So that being my daughter, Piper, who's awesome and I love her. I love you, Piper. She won't listen to anything I'm a part of. Who am I kidding? But if she ever does, mommy loves you. And so she kept me very close to home because I wanted to be with her. Obviously. I mean, first I was her food source for a chunk of time. And then I had no interest in leaving her for huge chunks of time. So I never left. I never went very far. And if I went somewhere, it was under 2 weeks. I always stayed very close to home. I went on the Canadian Pacific Holiday Train. She was 6 or 7. And she was little, and I was out for about a month. Mm-hmm. And it was just before Christmas. It was an amazing opportunity. I traveled all across the country. But it was very traumatic, really.
Yeah.
For her and for me. And this is before FaceTime. So it was a bit tricky. So
yeah, if you were gone, you were gone.
You were
then,
gone.
Right?
And then, because we were in remote parts of Canada where there was no cell service. I couldn't talk on the phone with her. And that was just reiterated the fact that I just needed to stay close to home, and I have no regrets. And I'm just really grateful that this business that was once a very ageist business, and I was told I was too old from age 20 onwards, maybe even earlier actually, now at 43, I feel like I'm just like going into my prime.
It's
and
such
Beyonce
a strange
and I are the same
thing.
Age.
You only get better with years if you're continuing and improving. So it's such a strange concept, but that's definitely what we grew up in.
It's true. It was such a focus on youth, and now it's like, it's just not. It's not like that. And you know, we are recording this podcast, and the day before this podcast was recorded was the Junos were announced. And I have so many pals who were nominated who are in their 40s.
Yeah.
And that's so cool. My folks who I know have been just working so hard for 2+ decades, and they finally get recognition. That's awesome to me.
Yeah.
It's really awesome to me. But anyways, I am on the road more now. I'm officially an empty nester, and Piper is out on living her own life, and ideally without mom interfering day in, day out. And that's brought me a new level of freedom, interesting, but also I've been able to build my career in a different way, and it's exciting. And to just be like, oh, I'll just do a tour in Germany, and then I just do it. And just like make a few phone calls and like make it happen and just like book a flight and go. And you really have control of my own situation, which I think is really, I'm really thankful for too.
Earlier you mentioned Rob Baker and yourself and Julia in a competition. His son Boris is in Cassador, and I know you've done some work with them recently.
Yeah.
They're nice guys.
They are really nice guys.
Yeah. What was that like?
It's been so fun. I think over the last year, my relationship with music was kind of in a kind of a tumultuous time, and collaboration has been so inspiring, and it's really reignited my love of music. And we've worked on, I think, 5 songs together. so I've had so much fun collaborating with them, and it's been great. It's been a privilege to work with them.
Get to hang out at Bath House. That's a fun place.
Yeah, it's so cool. So cool.
Who says it's not a fun place? I want to know that person. It's a pretty fun place.
It's always been magical. I remember the first time I was there with Chris and Dee, two other women in our community who are absolutely incredible. They were doing In Bloom, I believe, the album at the time. But yeah, magical little spot.
It's so cool, and it's so close.
So, I mean, let's get into it. Why the lull? What were you feeling, girl? Is it just, you know, is it because being a musician is a job at the end of the day, right?
It's a
passion, but at the same time, you have to work at it day in, day out.
Absolutely, yeah. You know? I think it just, for a time, wasn't really bringing me joy anymore. Right. I don't really know why. Yeah. It just, I wasn't feeling as inspired, and then you put pressure on yourself because it's a dream, and sometimes dreams are kind of heavy. And so I had a really good chat with Emily, actually, in the summertime, and it was, I'm trying to think of the word that you used, but I think you said that being a performer and an artist, it's kind of like a disease.
It's a disease. That's the word I used.
As somebody who's done stand-up comedy, I feel that in my soul.
It's not an easy thing.
You don't choose it. You
don't want to do this. Hey, everybody. Yeah, I know. Gross. It's gross. Sometimes it's gross.
But if it's part of the fabric of who you are, and I think that's artistry in all its many forms, is one of those things. It's like, how many jobs can one have where it actually is a description of who you are?
Exactly.
Using music as an example, it is. And disease. I was like, I'm not going to butt in, but it was disease.
It's true.
Disease.
I think.
I'm sorry.
Any other path, you don't consider it like your identity.
Yeah, it infects you.
Yeah. You're like, I'm a banker. That's who I am. Really say
like
that.
You go home and you leave that.
They're like, this is me.
Don't take the numbers.
I
home
wish
with
we
you.
Could take a photo of Julia's posture when she said that. She was
hilarious. I'm a banker. She like manspread it all of a sudden. She's like, also, I'm a banker. Like, whoa, maybe she is a banker.
Maybe it really is an identity.
Guys, does a musician.
But I think music is sometimes kind of complicated, and I think I've learned a lot about myself over the last year, and it's a special thing, so I'm happy to be here.
Emily and I were talking about this one day, because we were talking about stand-up comedy, and she was like, oh, that's crazy, and I was like, yeah, but it's like, music to me is like the next level of that. It's like a connection with so many people at one time. When people know the song, they're already going there in their minds. It's like, do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's so powerful. Sure. And Kyra, just listening to your song today and having to turn it off because I didn't want to mess up my makeup was a reminder of just like how powerful music can be. And it could be the words, it can be the melody, it can, you know, the beat of something brings something out in you. When you're creating a song and you're putting yourself out, you're so vulnerable in that, right? That has to be tough.
But I think what stand-up comedy and music both share is they're both performance and they're vehicles for connection.
Mm-hmm.
And I think both of them can be super vulnerable.
It's storytelling, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's storytelling and connection.
I always say, it's funny when people say, oh, it must be so hard to be a musician. And I'm like, have you ever talked to a comedian or a model? Because I'll tell you right now, the comedians and models I know have it way worse than the musicians, in my opinion. And that's all I have to say about that. These passion projects that sometimes can be your livelihood. But I always say too, it is one of those things, a reminder, because, you know, when I talk to audiences or do interviews and talk about like, oh, not having maternity leave. And then I say, by the way, anybody who's self-employed does not have maternity leave.
Yeah.
It's not just the poor bar musician, which is what I was at the time. It's the person who owned potentially a successful business as well in a nice shop in downtown Kingston. So it really is a self-employed business. It's a, you know, it's all hard. Anybody who takes risks knows that there's some sacrifice there. And the saying, no risk, no reward, is so real, right?
Yeah.
And sure. What are you going to do? Take the easy route and do something that bores the heck out of you? Well, guess what? A lot of people do. And some people, by the way, that is what they want to do. So that's a different thing. But if you have big dreams or any dreams and you are just cannot really take that step to take any to
action.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people put stress on themselves to be that thing right away. And mm-hmm. it's such mm-hmm. a process. And there's so many times you learn, you know, you lose contests, you win contests, mm. you yeah. know. There's things that happen throughout the way that build who you are to eventually, you know. I just feel like so many times people are like, this is what success is. And success can be measured in so many different ways. And to me, I always feel like as long as you're doing it, that's it. Whether yeah. you're doing it on a local level, like when I was young, I was like, oh, I want to be an actor. And I read this book and it was like, if you have these big dreams, just go and do it on a local level. So I went to community theater. Yeah. I actually worked with Emily's dad and acted and directed, and it got it out of me. I was like, okay, that's what I needed to do. But so many people are like, I'm not a big actress. I'm a failure, you know, but it's like,
there's Beyonce and the rest of us. So I like
go
to
play
say.
An open mic. Go, yeah.
Beyonce
right?
and the rest there's, of us.
It's
and if
still
that's
an
your,
outlet, right?
if that's your, you know, if that's yeah. your marker and your only marker,
mm-hmm.
well, then all the steps in between get lost, right?
Yes.
And it's, I was doing an interview earlier today and we were talking about this because it's that idea that sometimes, you know, when people ask me, well, who's your inspiration there? And they're looking for these really big, fancy names. And I'm like, her name's Suzanne Pasternak. She was my best friend's mom and she was a full-time artist. And she had lots of struggles and she had some wins too. And that was the reality check. And I looked at her regular, often difficult way of life on a regular basis. And that was my marker. I was like, okay, I just need to make a living. I need mm-hmm. to pay the rent and put shoes on my kids' feet. And that will be my marker. And then once I reached that marker, then I was like, what's the next marker? And building that. Now, I like to say that I'm a bit of a slow learner. I'm a little late to the party sometimes. Takes me a bit of a time to get going. I'm now in 20 years in. I'm like, oh, I get it. And I feel like I'm hitting my stride now. But that's fine. Mm-hmm. That's okay. I mean, it's not about the end result, it's the journey, right? It's like, that's a huge part of life is the journey. So it's like, what's the journey and are you enjoying it? And I will tell you right now, most of it, I have really, so far, absolutely enjoyed. Loved it.
They've sold millions of albums, performed on 6 continents, on the world's greatest stages. And now, coming to Kingston, Grand On Stage presents Pink Martini.
Je ne veux pas travailler, non.
Celebrating their 30th anniversary, featuring award-winning vocalist China Forbes. Pink Martini, Saturday, March 22nd at Kingston Grand Theater. Tickets for Pink Martini and the rest of the Grand On Stage season are on sale now at kingstongrand.ca.
Let's talk about some of the projects that you have going on right now. What are you working on over there, Julia?
I've been going to the bathhouse and working on my own stuff that I'm really excited about. So I don't really have a release date yet. I've just been really enjoying the process. So that's been really fun. I have been working with Casador doing some collaborative writing. So I hope to do more of that. Yeah,
yeah.
That's what's going on.
What about you, Kyra?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, disassociated. I have a lot going on. Writing music is always something that I'm doing in like my free time. It's like a coping mechanism for me. Some people love sports. Some people have like, they talk to people or they have like outlets, I guess. Mine is just writing lyrics. I'm just always thinking of melodies and stuff. So I've gotten back into the studio. I was in a studio in Toronto last weekend. It was so fun. We're working on some really cool songs. So that's kind of just where I'm at right now. And I'm still performing as much as I can, doing some anthems, doing some local stuff, and just doing what I love, as always.
Nice.
Yep.
You're doing Raptors.
Yeah, Raptors. I have some soccer, like, yeah, it's mainly all in Toronto, but
right.
It's got some hockey. That's mm-hmm. the anthems, but the main ones, the Raptors, for sure. And yeah,
that's so awesome.
Yes.
Yeah, that's so cool.
So when Ange and I were growing up in Prince Edward County, which is a rural island, for those of you who aren't aware of what's happening outside of Kingston, The opportunities were churches and anthems. So I did what I called the church circuit, sang at all the churches, and then I sang for the hockey games.
Yeah.
You know, and if there was another sporting event coming into town. And I always thought they were great. Now, for sure, they're not Raptors games. Every once in a while, I'd drive all the way to Belleville. And get to sing the anthem
for the Belleville
Bulls. That was a pretty big deal.
I feel like I need a cowbell. Where is my cowbell?
The Metropolis. Anyways, and that, but that was, it was really great. It helped because it's a lot of pressure, as you know. An anthem is a lot of pressure. Yeah. And so I always felt like when people say, do you get nervous? I really think one of the reasons why I don't get nervous when I actually perform, I'll get nervous at different times around it. But why I can go out and produce confidently every time is because of my anthem experience. So I think about that with you. That must be, you know, a next level. But imagine you have that experience, like, that must build some mega skill.
Yeah, it's been interesting. I mean, I've been with the Raptors for like 2 years now, so it's been cool. And they don't really take people under 18, so I was kind of the first one to just be like, "Hey, like, wanna?"
How do they
like,
feel about 43-year-olds?
Hey, I'm 12. Do you guys want to listen to me sing?
Anyone see any moms out there?
I mean, it's so cool just to have that experience. I mean, it's a completely different thing. It's like you're on your own. Like, it's so vulnerable. It's
like so
a stadium
vulnerable.
Of 20-something thousand people. And it's just, you're,
oh my gosh.
You have to start on pitch. You have to remember, oh my God, don't forget the lyrics.
Don't forget the lyrics.
you're done for. No. Like, don't forget the lyrics. And it's just like, you have to find your note. You just have to stay. And like, there's no background to like to anything. It's just me. So
I
was like, oh, I need to stay on. And it was definitely nerve-wracking for the first, like, I kind of just say that it's excitement at this point, because it's just the adrenaline rush and just the I can't wait to do this. And but it's been a really cool learning experience just to develop certain practice before I go on, or routines before I sing for those games. It's different wheelhouse for sure.
That's really cool. It's interesting because you said the excitement, the adrenaline. People will talk to me and they'll say, what do you do for nerves? And I say, I just change my attitude.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Because if you think of the symptoms of being nervous and being excited, they're really the same. It's like, oh, sweaty palms and my heart races and my breath gets a little short. I mean, it's the same whether you're nervous or excited. It's just one's negative and one's positive. And I'm like, I'm just like, oh.
It's like you have this energy and you're like, okay, what am I going to do with it?
Yes.
Yeah,
how am I choosing?
Yeah. How am I going to choose to, like, am I going to use this or am I going to let it become? I always think of it this way. Instead of this energy is inside of me and I have to deal with it, I think of being the energy outside of the body and I'm just controlling the body to do what I want.
Ooh.
But it's not in me, stuck there. It's outside of me and I'm manipulating it. Oh. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I love that.
Take it with you.
I will take that.
We are not.
Then you could put it on a t-shirt.
We manipulate. That was my TED talk. I feel like this has been very like uplifting and joyous, and I love that. Sometimes life is tough, you know, Emily.
Oh,
we
God.
Were filming. Oh no! Like, you know, here's a prime example. We were filming a video, your video, recently. Do you want to talk about this?
Sure.
You don't have to.
Absolutely, we can.
But I just feel like this is life. So we were filming a video for the Slate Music Program, right? Mm-hmm. And the song itself is very empowering, and it's about women and, you know, taking your freedom and all of this. And then there was like an incident as we were leaving that was like just a slight reminder of the things that we have to deal with as women. And to keep a story short, we essentially walked out of the place we were filming after a day of just feeling on top of the world, and a random man came up and like pushed past me, pushed you off the curb, put his finger out like pew pew pew, like he was shooting us with his finger.
Yeah, he pretended to.
He had no idea that
fake shoot us.
I just wait for somebody like that to approach me.
Oh gosh!
So he left very quickly when I squared up with him, but it was just a reminder of sometimes just being a woman.
Yeah, and just be very clear, this person did not look like they were anything threatening at all.
No.
They presented as a very
just somebody walking
quote
past.
Unquote yeah. quote run of the mill human being walking down the street.
Yeah.
I would have thought nothing of him.
I thought he was a friend of yours.
Yeah, at first I wondered.
I thought he was excited, and I thought, oh, you know
so
him.
Weird.
I had
so
my arms
weird.
Full yeah. of stuff, and he yep. pushed me off
oh.
the curb.
Yeah,
and it was like it happened so fast, and yeah. we're all kind of our friend Jude was with us, and we were all kind of like, did that just happen?
Mm-hmm.
And then he said a few foul things to us and like pretended
what?
To shoot yeah. us with his finger.
Where is this guy?
I
got some things to say.
I have something new. Mm. And then he walked off in the direction of where half of the lovely women who were helping make this video walked off. So towards like Queens campus area. And I immediately got very protective thinking, oh my gosh,
aww.
He's walking in that direction. And I know at least four women who just walked in that direction in the last 30 to 60 minutes. But Angie, I'm glad you brought it up because mm-hmm. we haven't talked about it. It was a reality check of here we are coming out of this situation where we just did this really empowering, amazing, you know, female empowerment, you know, togetherness video. And then that's immediately what happens when we leave the doors
mm-hmm.
of that protected space.
Yeah.
And it was very real.
Yeah.
Wasn't it, honey?
Oh, yeah. Sometimes you just have those real moments.
It was a real moment. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it reminds me, as a songwriter, actually, how that's why it's important to our platform is there and not, I don't see it as pressure. I don't, but it's an opportunity to create music that provides a space for people to listen and feel something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And for this song, it's empowerment. This song, it's actually called My Freedom. It's probably going to be the first single off my new record. And it was originally entitled Stay Away. And it was very negative. And it was about a sad time and a negative time in my life. It centers around domestic abuse. And it was a downer, I guess is the best way to put it. And then as we were getting close to recording, I thought, I don't want to have a downer. I don't want people to listen to it and feel bad. I want them to feel empowered. I want them to feel like, hey, that happened to me too. And hey, things can get better.
Yeah.
Like, how about that message?
Mm-hmm.
And so I turned it around, just negative to positive, essentially. And I feel great about that.
I feel like that's your superpower. You're so good at doing that.
Thanks. You know what? I don't think I always have been. I feel like I'm trying to get better at it.
Once a year, I have this life-changing chat with Emily about life. It always makes me cry. And she's just so good at that. She's so gracious and good at making... I'm going to cry right now.
And then Julia writes more songs and she lets me cover them.
So this is
my
interesting.
Payment.
The event,
it's all part of the process.
It's all part of the process. So wrong. The event
Kyra,
is
still yours too. It's fine. It's going to be great.
So I'm just thinking that the event that's happening is music
mm-hmm.
performance, but there's also going to be like a fireside chat, they were saying.
I mean, more details on that soon.
Okay.
I think there's still some open-endedness to that as the details come together. And the Queen, Moira, who is really doing so much work on this production, she has some really great ideas, and I am here to follow.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. I came up with the idea for this show and then emailed Moira, and she had the greatest ideas, and we just kind of went from there.
Yeah.
There is going to be a chat involved in it, and that was Moira's idea, and I think it's a brilliant idea because then we get to know the artists a little bit better who are performing at this event.
Mm-hmm.
My hope is at this event that each artist have people who follow their career, and these people who are supporters come to this event and they talk to each other, but they also learn about these artists, these other artists on the bill, and they can become fans of these other artists as well. And then everybody shares a fan base, everybody shares a networking opportunity, and ultimately a celebration of young women in music in this community who are representing this community in such a bright, lit way, and in particular the arts community,
mm-hmm.
which is exciting. It's so exciting. It felt like such a lonely place to me for so long, and now I look around and there's this entire sea of brilliant talent, and the goal is to do more of these because I think it's an opportunity and a responsibility of those of us maybe who are more veteran members of the Kingston arts scene to provide opportunities to showcase this talent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm excited. So excited to watch y'all sing.
It'll be so fun.
You know, we talk a lot about like Kingston and what makes it special on the podcast and, you know, the proximity to Toronto, Ottawa, Montreal. It's kind of a nice little center. We have a lot of big bands and, you know, some of them have formed at universities and have gone on to other things. But what do you think it is about Kingston that makes it a special place to be? Julia?
Oh my gosh. I think I've been very fortunate to have people in my life who've been really supportive of music, and there's so much music in Kingston, and it's only grown. It's kind of crazy. I started performing, I think I had my first show when I was 12 at the RCHA Club, and since then there's been so many venues that have emerged and so many people performing, and I don't really know what it is about Kingston, but there's definitely something really special about it.
Yeah.
A little different for you, Kyra, because a lot of your stuff happens outside of town,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, for sure.
Is Kingston more of a safe home space for you?
I mean, this is just what I've known Kingston. Just like, it's my, yes, it's my comfort place. It's my home for sure. And yes, traveling to different places to do music is different just because they're bigger cities. There's a lot more going on. But I feel like Kingston is just such a community town. It's smaller and like so many people just know each other, and singing downtown or just going to local events is such a cool way to just connect with people who share the same passion and love for the thing that you're doing. I don't remember how old it was. I was singing at the Country Singing Showdown or something.
Yeah.
It was like I think that's what it was called.
And yeah,
like stomping it.
I was like, that was my first like outing in the community here, and right. I mean,
that was a great one. That was a great.
It was so good, and that was how I built my confidence. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, it's local. It's 10 minutes from my house. Mm-hmm. Like, it's great, and just to be able to perform here was so cool, and I love doing it just because everybody's so supportive, and just having that community here in the city is just so cool. And I mean, yeah, Savannah is my music teacher right now, and it's so cool just to be like, to share that and to just be like, this is where we're from, but like it's just growing. It's so cool. Like that country show is like, it's grown over the years, and I've gone back to guest perform, I guess. Oh, and it's it's just so cool to see how many people in the city are doing what they love to do, and just how inspiring music can be for so many people. So, yeah, and it doesn't, for me, it's like, yes, we're in between a lot of big cities, and it helps because we're close, but yeah, this city will always have a special place in my heart just because of the community feel, and there's so many opportunities, for sure.
Your career changed a lot in the city over the years. You know, I'm thinking from Friday nights at the Merchant, but you, Emily, recently did sort of a throwback show. How many years had it been since you
played?
It had
been 9 years.
9 years.
9 years.
That was so much fun. So many people dancing, singing the lyrics to songs that we haven't heard you play in almost a decade.
So I had an old bar band called Emily Fennell Band, for lack of a better name. I don't know what I was thinking, but we played at the Merchant Tap House for a bunch of years every Friday, and I used to do these reunion ones, but then I fell off doing the reunion ones, and I hadn't realized, but it was 9 years. But it was the 15th anniversary of that for the only album we ever made was last year.
Red.
But gosh, this city's so great. How many cities in Canada, and I'm talking about Toronto, Montreal, how many cities in Canada can you do music full time and raise a family and have a mortgage? And that's what I've been able to do here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's like crazy. It's awesome. It's so awesome. I now, unfortunately, I'm not able to play shows here because that little thing called proximity clause and contracts. So I play two, usually a year, in this area within 100-kilometer radius, blah, blah, blah. But that's fine.
Yes, we love the opportunities.
We love the opportunities. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it kind of forced me out of my safe bubble. And now I get to tour.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And hopefully I'll get to tour as much as Kyra does. one day.
You guys can chat. Maybe about the mini pops.
Can you make a mini pops phone call for me? Again with the mom thing.
She wants one.
Maybe
Rockers
they need
game
one mom.
We used
on
to
the
do
stage.
That. We used to bring. We had this mom. It was like we dressed the moms up, and they got to come up on stage. We should like.
Can I just like have a surrogate child of the mini pops, so I can just like
it was
stage
great.
Mom my way into yes. the show. Do I don't it. Want to be a stage mom. I want to be a mini pop. Okay.
Yeah, listen,
yeah. I didn't get my mini pop time to shine.
Listen, dreams. We talked about this. Sometimes they shift. Okay.
This is mind blowing. Like I had this flashback of looking at mini pops, begging my mom to buy cereal so I could get the mini pops, whatever it was, gift in the in the cereal box. This is big shit. Yeah. This is big.
My parents have the original vinyl. It's in my room now because they're like, well,
and
you
knew your parents were near my age.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to beat it out of your dad after the podcast.
Yeah, no, literally. He has so many stories about this. But they grew up listening to, it was like Eye of the Tiger. It was all of those songs. It was like the first vinyl ever of Mini Pops. And
bingo. It's cool. I must have had it too. I must have.
Yeah.
It's a big deal in the 80s.
Super cool.
Ladies. I think their time has come to an end.
Can we now describe the outfit you're wearing?
Go for it.
It's so cute.
Like our listeners to know that Angela, well, and Virginia is taking some nice, carefully documented visuals. Angela's wearing her very gorgeous little sweater dress.
It's pink. Very clueless.
So cute.
Pink with the...
Yeah, it's so
very,
okay.
Looks like
yeah.
it's so right share. Off of Clueless. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little... gold rimmed pearl buttons.
Stop it.
With her matching French manicure. Gosh, it keeps going. You're adorable. You're a doll.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Anything else you wanted to chat about before we go? You got something to talk about?
People should go to broomfactory.ca for their tickets.
That is definite.
Yes.
March 7th.
The show March 7th.
Yes.
At the Broom Factory.
7 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
doors.
It's going to be a wonderful evening celebrating young female musicians in the city of Kingston. And we are very excited.
Shout out to Moira.
Yes.
Shout out to Moira.
Shout out.
The queen.
The queen.
She does so much behind the scenes,
she
too.
She does.
God bless her.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Yes.
She's the best.
She's amazing.
I'm She's thankful amazing. Every time I get a minute of her time.
She's a dream maker, that one.
She really is. Mm-hmm.
She really is.
She's
like making stuff happen. I remember years ago in radio thinking, like talking on the radio all the time about, we need shows earlier. I do a morning show. I have to get up at 3 a.m. I need 7 o'clock shows. And now 7 to 10 p.m., Broom Factory brings so many different acts in. It's pretty incredible. That's one of the things that she's up to.
One.
But, she does, yeah, you she know, does so much.
Answering my emails. I mean, that's a job in itself.
She should get overtime for that.
I have a lot of questions. I have a lot of questions.
Julia, Kyra, Miss Emily. Oh, I'm allowed to call her Emily here. Thank you so much. Clara and Savannah will be joining March 7th as well. So if you were thinking, oh, I have a question for them, you can go. You can ask them, I guess. It'll be a little bit more open. And, of course, with the performances, looking forward to it. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks
for your time, Ange.
You're all little blessings.
Oh, right back at you. Sweet little cardigan.
Your beautiful dress.
Girl.
Yes. Oh, stop. Stop.
This has been Kingston Live. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please share it, tell a friend, or subscribe on your platform of choice. For show listings, artist info, and all things Kingston music, check out kingstonlive.ca. Kingston Live was produced in Kingston by Soundwise. Hosted by Ange Stever. Voiceovers and technical production by John Sanfilippo. Writing and research by Peter Sanfilippo. Executive producer Rob Howard. We'd love to hear from you. Email us at podcast@kingstonlive.ca.
KPP Concerts presents a stacked lineup of shows this winter in partnership with CFRC 101.9 FM, featuring a mix of big-name acts and some local faves as well. On March 8th, Montreal punks, the Anti-Queens, hit the stage in celebration of International Women's Day. Then, on March 14th, don't miss Kingston's Good Times supergroup, Rocket Surgery. On March 16th, the Great Big C's Sean McCann hits the Spire, and the Mahones rage the stage on St. Patrick's Day. On March 20th, the Cancer Bats return to town, and on March 22nd, Canadian pop sensation and Queens alum Devin Cole puts on a show. And on March 29th, don't miss the sweet sounds of Dom Lewis. Unless noted, all KPP shows co-presented by CFRC 101.9 FM take place at the Broom Factory. For full info and tickets, visit kppconcerts.com.
Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office, we're pleased to present electric folk rock artist Megan Hamilton's latest single, Horse Thief Bay Road. Born from a four-day artist residency at the Grand Theater in Kingston and a challenge from her 12-year-old daughter. Teaming up once again with Jim Bryson, Horse Thief Road captures long drives along the Thousand Islands Parkway during lockdowns, finding purpose in movement and glimmers of joy in the sunlight sparkling on the water. The music video for this song debuted at the Slate Music Video Showcase on March 1st. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visitkingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream Horse Thief Bay Road by Megan Hamilton on your favorite platforms and enjoy it with us here now on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Let's leave this behind. Clear our minds. Drive. We are surviving, at least for now. I was lost, but now I'm. Stick around, don't make a sound, feet on the ground, can't keep us down.
No one should have to choose between feeding their family and being able to afford basic hygiene products. One in five people who menstruate are likely to experience period poverty this year. United Way Kingston, Frontenac, Lennox, and Addington's Period Promise donation drive helps ensure no one in our community has to choose between basic needs and period products. From March 1st to March 31st, 2025, community members are encouraged to donate tampons, pads, liners, and other menstrual products. For drop-off locations and more information, visit unitedwaykflna.ca/periodpromise. You can make a difference locally.
Hey CFRC listeners, in celebration of International Women's Day, local icon Miss Emily and the Kingston Music Office are hosting an International Women's Day showcase on March 7th at the Broom Factory, with support from your friends here at CFRC. Experience a showcase celebrating the remarkable talents of women and non-binary artists in the Kingston community. Miss Emily will be hosting the night with feature performances from Clara Smallman, Julia Finnegan, Kyra Daniel, and Savannah Shea. Stay for the fireside chat exploring songwriting, creativity, and the challenges of navigating the music industry as underrepresented voices, as well as a showcase of women-led businesses in the Kingston community. It's sure to be the event of the season. Doors are at 7 p.m., and tickets can be found at ticketscene.ca.
You're listening to Kingston's only campus community radio station.